This is Fresh Air. Chuck Berry is one of the most celebrated figures in the history of rock and roll, but not many people could tell you the name of the pianist who played on most of his hits and performed with him off and on for close to 30 years. We're going to meet him. His name is Johnny Johnson, and he has his first major label album under his own name. It's called Johnny Be Bad. This is Cow Cow Blues. Johnny Johnson's new album was co-produced by the Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards. When Richards was interviewed for the Chuck Berry documentary Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, he said that on songs like School Days, Johnson isn't copying Berry's riffs. Berry adapted Johnson's piano riffs to guitar. Johnson told me he even helped Berry write some of the songs.
As a whole, Chuck would write the lyrics, and I would help him put music to whatever he would write to blend in with the lyrics that he'd written.
Do you think you got some of his style from your piano?
Oh, definitely so, because I have taught him some things myself on piano that he would use when I wasn't around anywhere. He would use these while he was composing the music to some of the lyrics that he had. For instance, Sweet Little 16, I helped him with that quite a bit with the music part, you know.
When you were working together, would you be at the piano and he with his guitar?
Yeah, definitely so. I would be at the piano and he'd be at the guitar, And this way I would place maybe a couple chords or different licks on the piano, and he would either follow me or he would play a chord that he thought might blend in with what I was doing, and then he would sing the lyrics to what we were playing, and if it fitted, I mean, that's what he would use.
Chuck Berry has always rightfully felt that he was ripped off by having, for instance, Alan Freed's name listed as co-composer. But I wonder if you ever feel that your name should have been listed as a co-composer for legitimate reasons, since you participated in the writing of the melodies.
No, I never did think about it twice. I was glad to, you know, do what I was doing because it was exciting and whatever. But so far as my name being on it, it didn't give me a problem at all.
When you started playing rock and roll, what do you think you did different than you did before? What did you have to change to make it rock and roll?
Well, I had to change the timing of my playing, for one thing, because, as I say, rock and roll is more on a boogie kick than anything else, where playing other songs, you just play out like us. A regular time, and like rock and roll, it's got to be a shuffle or a boogie beat. Well, other things, just blues, period. So that's the difference in rock and roll and playing standard tunes.
How old were you when you started playing in clubs? Did you have to play when you were underage?
No, I never played in clubs when I was underage. But when I was 9 or 10 years old, my uncle used to steal me out of the house and take me to these night parties that they would have on the weekends in West Virginia. And I'd sit up there and play piano and whatever, and my mother would come get me and then ball him out and so forth. But I was around 17 when I started playing professionally, or playing in clubs, I put it that way, not professionally, just playing in clubs. Then I went to Marine Corps in 1943, and I was in Special Service Band there. So when I got out of the service, I started playing professionally in Detroit. And from Detroit, I would move to Chicago, and then from Chicago to St. Louis. And that was in 52, and I've been there ever since.
Now, you had your own band back in the early 50s, and you actually hired Chuck Berry.
This is true, right.
To fill in for the saxophonist.
Mm-hmm.
What made you hire Berry? Why did you choose him?
Well, we both was playing at different clubs in East St. Louis. And sometime my group would finish before his, and I would go by and listen to them play sometimes, sit in when a piano was available. So, and I liked what he was playing, being born in West Virginia and whatever. I was used to hillbilly music, and this is the type of Chuck was playing, you know. So when the opportunity come up to get another musician, I contacted him to fill in for my saxophone player, which he did, and the rest is history.
Now, Chuck Berry eventually became the leader of the band.
Right.
The band that you had hired him for. How did he become the leader?
Well, he took a tape to Chicago to Chess Recording, and he did all this on his own with no help or anything. And Leonard Chess asked him, could he bring the group back to Chicago live? And when he did this, and we made this record, Maybelline, and the record was a big hit, and Chuck wanted us to stay with him. But he wanted the group on his name, which I agreed heartily right off the bat. You can have it, you know. But I will still play with you. So that's how it became to be Chuck Berry's Trio.
Now, how did things change when he became the leader instead of you?
The working conditions got much better. As I was telling some friends of mine this morning, we had a tour come up right away where we did 101 one-nighters. We started here in New York and went all the way cross-country to Florida. So we worked much more by him taking over. If it had that, I'd say the leader. Because one thing, he had a car, and I didn't have a car, so I couldn't get around much anymore. So anyway, it was a change in the name, and Chuck was out there. He was doing all the singing and everything else, so I didn't see no reason why he shouldn't be the leader.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Johnny Johnson, who played for many years with Chuck Berry and is featured on the Chuck Berry Hits at the piano. Now he has a new album called Johnny Johnson, Johnny Be Bad, and it's just been released as part of the Elektra Nonesuch American Explorer series. We'll talk more after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Pianist Johnny Johnson is my guest. Maybelline was your first hit with Chuck Berry. Was that also the first record that you made together?
Yeah, that was the first one. Maybelline on one side and Wee Wee Owls on the other side, which Wee Wee Owls was strictly a blues.
What are your memories of that recording session?
My memories of it? Something I'll never forget, that's for sure. We went in the studio that morning around 8 o'clock, and we never got out till after 11 that night, just making this one thing, one record, which was 45s then. And by being new in the business, I mean, we just didn't know what was going down. And so Leonard Chess helped us out a lot, and we finally got Maybelline, and we wasn't no problem because, as I say, it was a blues. And then our next record was much easier than Maybelline, and it got so we could go in the studio and be in there 15 or 20 minutes, and we'd have a record together, and we're out again back on the road.
Well, let's listen to the final result. This is Maybelline, recorded in 1955. My guest, Johnny Johnson on piano.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do.
Pianist Johnny Johnson is my guest. After Maybelline, when your music started really getting played on the radio and you were getting this big national following, what was it like to suddenly have all these teenagers coming to hear you and to probably have more racially mixed audiences than you were used to?
It was, really. But it would give you a great feeling to know that your music was taken to the public as well as it was. And you stand up for hours, just whatever, signing autographs. To me, this was very exciting. So you just have to break away from the crowd, you know, to get out of signing autographs and whatnot. And when a job was performed was over with, when you open the door, everybody's standing there with pencil and paper, and this is very much exciting to me then.
Jerry Lee Lewis was kind of a madman at the piano. Did you ever do anything really theatrical when you were playing on stage?
No, I just sat there and played the piano. I mean, I've seen them like play with their feet and turn all upside down and all this kind of, but I never was into that. I just sit up there and play on the piano and let it go at that.
Was that your personality to not call that much attention to yourself?
Yeah, you could say it.
Are you the Johnny and Johnny B. Good?
I'm the Johnny B. Good he wrote about.
So, what was he saying about you in there?
Well, when we started on tour, as I say, this was my first thing going out on the road, so I was always getting left behind and had to call back Chicago to get money to catch the plane to catch up with the other group and whatnot. Because we usually finish early, like 9:30 or 10, 11 o'clock. And whatever city we was in, I'd go and find where some other band was playing live and set in with them, because playing rock and roll all the time, I would get slack on my playing jazz or the blues or whatever. So I got lost quite often. So, I mean left, not lost. I got left quite often. And Chuck was saying, hey, you know, kind of keep up with us and try to be good for a change. And then the next thing I know, he come up with this Johnny B. Good thing, you know, which was a big hit.
In Chuck Berry's autobiography, Berry says that he was glad when he reached the decision to stop carrying the other musicians in the band with him to performances because it was easier for the agency to book him as a single.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, besides, you had started to drink, and that was a problem for him. Is that right? Did you have a drinking problem then?
I didn't exactly have a drinking problem, but I did drink quite a bit. But it wasn't a problem. Only on the weekends, I drank quite a bit on the weekend. But I never was what you would call close to an alcoholic. Because through the week, I wouldn't touch it at all. But I think that was a big part of him stop carrying a band or whatever. Because I wasn't the only one in the band that drank. He have used certain different other musicians that would also drink and whatever. And by him not drinking or anything, he just decided to go out on his own.
Well, how did you feel about him going out on his own?
It was fine with me because I figure whatever happened, it was supposed to happen. And by him going out on his own, that made me get up and do something like get my own group together and start all over again. So I guess that's where I am today now.
What kind of music did you start playing when he went his own way and you started organizing your own groups again?
I went back to the bass style of music and back to my blues.
How often do you play with Chuck Berry now?
I haven't played with him now in over a year. I played with him several times in Vegas, Las Vegas at the Lake Tahoe and whatever. So it's been over a year since I played with him now. But I still contact him every so often. I'll give him a call.
In the days when you and Chuck Berry had your hit records, all the names of the members of the band were never printed, so you wouldn't buy a record and know who the pianist was on it. Your name was not that well known when the records were coming out. I mean, people really in the know would know it, but your average listener wouldn't. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Did that bother you?
Well, no, not too much. It's just like now it's like a ghost coming back to haunt you or something, because I'm not real well known now, even though I'm making it to be. But somebody mentioned, say, Johnny Johnson, this or that, right away you'll know, well, who is Johnny Johnson? But if they say Chuck Berry's piano player, it lifts eyebrows, you know, but they just don't know the name. So now this is being brought out front as to who Johnny Johnson was. It's Chuck Berry's piano player. So now I'm getting recognition, and this is great.
Now, on your new record, on Johnny B. Bad,
mm-hmm.
You sing. Have you have you sung a lot over the years? Or
no, that was my first time ever trying. And I wouldn't have tried it then if Keith Richard hadn't kept on bugging me about it. You can do it. I say, oh, no, let someone else sing. I say, I can't hardly talk. How you think I can sing? You know? But as it is, I'm getting surprising results from it. So it might encourage me to try it again.
Well, Johnny Johnson, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Oh, the pleasure was mine, really.
Johnny Johnson's new album is Johnny B. Bad. Here's Johnson singing and playing a tune he co-wrote with Keith Richards.
Listen to me, baby.
and hear what I got to say. I said, listen to me, baby, and hear what I got to say. I'm going around the corner and have me a drink of Tangeray. Come on, baby, and do like I say.
This is Fresh Air.